Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and summer is waning, but hopefully your interest in health-related issues isn't, because we've got lots to talk about this weekend on Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 if you care to join us in the conversation among the subjects that we're going to tackle this hour. We'll take a look at how use of antibiotics in early life may impair long-term immunity. Also, when you're reaching for a painkiller for your low back pain, well, you may be interested in the results of a new study that look at the effectiveness of the most commonly used painkiller for low back pain. Does it really work? 888-302-3684. Before we get to your phone calls, we got this story, which has to do with the cumulative IQ scores of people across the world and the trend lines in terms of IQ. You know, the movie Dumb and Dumber? Well, we tend to think of ourselves as smarter than our forebears because, you know, they were dumb. They didn't have iPhones, iPads, the internet. And, you know, they had to do things like read books, use slide rules, use pencil and paper to figure out math problems. But now we've got all kinds of computerized devices. We can call up facts with just typing in a couple of digits on a computer, and we're masters of the universe. And we tend to look at people in the 1950s and in the 1800s as being, you know, somehow inferior in intelligence. After all, they do seem dumb by comparison to us wizards of technology in the year 2014. But au contraire, it turns out that according to a detailed analysis of IQ scores across the world, technology may be getting smarter, but humans are getting dumber. Evidence suggests that the IQs of people in the United Kingdom, Denmark, and Australia have declined in the last decade. And some studies have shown that the average IQ of Westerners has plunged 10 points or more since Victorian times. And now scientists point to a potential trend for it to continue to decrease. And that's pretty scary. What's up with that? Well, here's one instance. An IQ test used to determine whether Danish men are fit to serve in the military has revealed that scores have fallen by 1.5 points since 1998. That doesn't seem like much, but that was only 15 years ago or so. And if you multiply that across time, it may reveal a profound trend, which will lead us towards decreased intelligence. Westerners, it is said, have lost 14 IQ points on average since the Victorian age. This study was published by the University of Amsterdam last year. And so what could possibly be the explanation? Well, one explanation that's been proffered is that it is a form of natural selection in reverse. Because how do we get to be smarter than the rest of the animal kingdom? We got bigger brains and greater levels of intelligence and skill as a means of survival. But now we have natural selection in reverse. Intelligent women, it is said, tend to have less children than women who are not as smart. You know, look at it, you know, socioeconomically, people who are rich, have gone to good colleges, have good careers, they tend to limit their family size consciously, whereas sometimes women who are, shall we say, less intellectually gifted have bigger families. And so what we're getting is a population explosion of people who are of average or less than average intelligence. This is a contentious theory. It's not entirely clear that this is what's happening. But it's also been found that reaction times are slowing, That means the time that it takes for you to react to a certain stimulus. And this may reflect mental processing speed and thereby reflecting intelligence. So here's an interesting statistic. It's a dramatic change. Visual reaction times averaged 194 milliseconds in the late 19th century. But by 2004, they had increased to 275 milliseconds. That's about a 60% increase in the time it takes to react. Now, one of the things you learn if you study environmental medicine, the study of how chemical and environmental toxicity affects the brain, reaction time is a sensitive measure of chemical toxicity. And God knows we've been exposed to lots of toxins in our water, our air, our diets. And these may be ultimately dumbing us down, these strange new chemicals that we've introduced into our bodies. The other thing that, you know, part of the theory is we may be not using our brains as much. We may seem to be smarter because we surround ourselves with electronic devices that make us look like wizards of the universe. But in the past, when, say, Columbus sailed across the Atlantic using simple observations of the stars and the weather and the tides to guide his voyage, I mean, it seems like he was just a dummy. He just, you know, jumped in a boat, headed off in one direction, and by serendipity landed somewhere significant, thus, quote, discovering the new world. But maybe, just maybe, those people had more smarts than we did. They had far less technology to rely upon. We've outsourced our brains to machines. And maybe, just maybe, that has eroded our own innate intelligence. Well, it'll be interesting to see if we stick around to the year 2100 or so, if people indeed are dumber. 888-302-3684 is our number. And here's an item. Yeah, we'll talk about this now. If you suffer from back pain, what are you going to reach for? Well, you have a couple of choices. I mean, unless you're into prescription medications. And oh, by the way, this week they placed draconian restrictions on prescription medications that are synthetic opiates like oxycodone. Now, you got to go to the doctor more often and ask your doctor if you can get a prescription. And the doctor has to write notes, and the doctor has to go through paperwork. And it's not so simple as just saying, hey, doc, I'm in pain. Send me more pain meds. These medications are addictive. They're responsible for myriad deaths, suicides, accidental deaths, terrible toll of addiction. So they're putting more restrictions on access to these powerful prescription meds. But what about over-the-counter meds? Medications like Advil, ibuprofen, and, of course, Tylenol. Some people don't like Advil. I don't personally like Advil. When I'm suffering from occasional muscle pain, I might take a Tylenol. But what about studies that look at the effectiveness of Tylenol? Well, acetaminophen or Tylenol, according to a new study, this is just out, acetaminophen isn't effective for acute low back pain. What they discovered was most patients' pain had resolved by 12 weeks, whether they received acetaminophen or placebo. Researchers looked at over 1,600 Australian patients with recent onset low back pain. And what they found was that whether they took a placebo pill or whether they took acetaminophen, it didn't make a difference to the ultimate outcome of their back pain. It didn't hasten recovery. There was actually not even any difference in pain intensity, disability, sleep quality. So the researchers concluded that Tylenol has little or no effect on recovery from acute back pain. And they say guidelines recommending its use should be reassessed. They say ultimately, just waiting, applying some hot or cold treatments to a sore body part, maybe some acupuncture, maybe some chiropractic. These interventions might even be more effective than taking these types of medications. And oh, by the way, Tylenol, responsible for numerous deaths, numerous injuries, due to its harmful effects on the liver, even sometimes resulting in the need for liver transplantation. So you got back pain, you think you're going to get big benefit from Tylenol, think again. And then, of course, there's Advil with its gastrointestinal side effects. So think twice about using over-the-counter analgesics for your back pain. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. This is the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
This traffic report from the bloodstream brought to you by Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Well, that inbound blood flow is really slowing down now due to plaque from cholesterol, but helps on the way from Kyolic. More than 750 peer-reviewed research studies indicate that Kyolic not only keeps circulation moving smoothly, it also helps improve a number of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is made from 100% organically grown garlic, is completely odorless, and won't upset your stomach. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Look for Kyolic at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Help keep your system stay humming along with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract today.
Taking an omega-3 has become part of my daily routine, but I did have some concerns about the environment and, quite frankly, the occasional fishy burp back. So I looked around and discovered a new eco-friendly and vegetarian alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. While it's no secret growing older can be a challenge, my doctor stresses the importance of omega-3s in helping to achieve and maintain a healthy lifestyle throughout all the stages of my life. I discovered that many health experts encourage supplementation with omega-3s to help support cardiovascular health, joint comfort, and healthy cognition. Chia Omega is a high-quality, all-natural, plant-based line of supplements made from chia seed oil. Chia seeds are the richest and most sustainable natural sources of ALA omega-3 on the planet, containing even more than fish or flax. Having choices concerning my health and making a conscientious change benefiting the environment feels empowering. That's why I switched to Chia Omega. You can get essential formulas Chia Omega at Vitamin Shoppe and other fine health food stores everywhere.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Well, it's back to college time, so lots of kids are heading back to the campus for yet another year in the educational mill. And so it's time to focus our Intelligent Medicine Spotlight on a popular dorm food, which is, what do you think it is? It's ramen noodles. Hey, there's nothing simpler than ramen noodles. You get a bunch of packages. You can keep them forever. It's kind of like survival food. And then all you need to do is you need to add hot water, and you have a meal. I'm putting that in quotation marks, a, quote, meal, and unquote. But, and it's cheap. No question about that. It may cost just a few pennies for per serving. But there's some bad news about ramen noodles. A U.S. study recently was performed on a group of South Korean adults aged 19 to 64, about half of them women, and it found that people who ate a diet rich in meat, soda, and fried and fast foods, including instant noodles, they had lots of instant noodles. This was associated with an increase in abdominal obesity and LDL, or bad cholesterol, otherwise known as metabolic syndrome. Eating instant noodles more than twice a week was associated with a higher prevalence of metabolic syndrome, a risk factor for heart disease. And the association was much stronger in women than in men. And isn't it the gals who more gravitate towards ramen noodles? You know, maybe guys, they get hungrier. That's not going to satisfy them. But just, you know, a nice little bowl of ramen noodles. That'll do the trick for a lot of you college gals. Well, of course, the study doesn't prove that instant noodles are to blame rather than the overall poor diets of people who happen to be eating ramen noodles. People who eat ramen noodles, that's maybe just a sign of a careless diet. But the study raises important questions. For one, enormous amount of sodium in those who consume ramen noodles. So, you know, what else about the ramen noodles could be problematic? Well, it's basically a lot of refined wheat flour, a little salt, a little flavoring, a little MSG, and not much in the way of other healthy nutrients. So, This study is causing a big stir in Korea, where ramen noodle lovers are contributing to a backlash. According to a Korean interviewed for the story, the kids love it, says Park Hyung Ki, age 42. But I have to admit that I feel guilty that I'm feeding them unhealthy stuff. He said this while sitting in a park along Seoul's Han River as he wound instant noodles around his chopsticks and fed his son, who opened his mouth wide like a baby bird in a nest. So it's a big staple over there, but it ain't necessarily good to consume a lot of ramen noodles. So, I got to say, when I was in college, one of the biggest things that helped me in college was the first year I lived in a dorm room, and we basically had electric outlets and hot plates. And then, you know, we could eat in the cafeteria, but the food was abysmal, or we could go across the street and, you know, get Meatball Hero sandwiches. But the biggest thing that I did to improve my overall status in college was to move to an apartment off campus, which had an actual stove. And I learned to cook, and I learned to shop, and I learned to start taking care of myself. This is about at the age of 18 or 19. And I think ultimately it's revolutionized my health, and I started taking good care of myself, and yeah, the rest is history. All right, this item underscores the harmful effects, long-term effects, of our casual use of antibiotics, especially in kids. You could scarcely find a kid these days who hasn't taken antibiotics three or four times, unless their parents are extremely conscientious. Maybe some of you who listen to this program, you're real health nuts, your intelligent medicine aficionados. You take exceptionally good care of your kids. You're very, very conservative about allowing your kids to be put on antibiotics. Yes, antibiotics are important in extreme circumstances, but for ordinary ear infections, sinus infections, even bronchitis, you don't really need to take antibiotics. These are self-limited problems. And a good pediatrician who's conservative will sit it out and observe the patient. Only prescribe antibiotics if absolutely necessary. Some patients, they demand antibiotics. It's not the pediatrician's fault. The patients say, hey, look, I'm here. I'm paying for a visit. I need, you know, something for my money. So give me a prescription. All right. What they're saying here, this is from the University of British Columbia. Most bacteria living in the gut play a positive role in promoting a healthy immune system. But antibiotics don't discriminate between good and bad bacteria. And researchers assess the impact of two antibiotics, vancomycin, streptomycin. This is a study in mice. And they found that streptomycin increased susceptibility to pneumonia later in life. And the researchers suggest that this may be due to an increase in allergic susceptibility. So probiotics could play a big role in repairing the gut. But also we need to be conservative about allowing our kids to take antibiotics willy-nilly, because antibiotic-induced shifts in the balance of bugs in your intestinal tract may promote inflammatory diseases and hamper immunity and increase the risk of allergies. We actually did a podcast on this subject this week, so you can go to drhoffman.com. I interview one of my good colleagues, Dr. Fred Pescatore, on the subject of probiotics. Check it out at drhoffman.com. We offer, in addition to this program, weekly podcasts that you can check out at drhoffman.com. This week's subject, an interview on probiotics. All right, we'll return in just a moment. Lots more to talk about on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. We'll talk about new discoveries about pomegranate's ability to stem the tide of dementia. Stay with us. Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Oh, one of my favorite products, product that I developed, oh, must be 12, even 15 years ago, is something called PhytoGuard, P-H-Y-T-O, capital G-U-A-R-D. I thought it was a pretty cool name because it is precisely that. It's a series of plant compounds nutraceuticals that guard you against free radicals that may have heart protective effects, that may also have cancer protective effects. And it's been a bestseller at drhoffman.com for a long time. It contains resveratrol and extract of cabbage, and it contains green tea and quercetin. And I sought to put together all manner of helpful cancer preventive ingredients in it. And then came a time where we do a production run and we're running out. And they said, well, do you want to just keep doing the same thing? And I said, no, I want to add one compound to the mix, which I think is going to be particularly significant in the future. And they said, oh, what's that? And I said, pomegranate extract. And they said, oh, pomegranate. Okay, well, yeah, sure, we can do that. We'll give you an estimate. Then they put the batch together for me. And we came up with a new improved version of PhytoGuard. That was a couple of years ago. Now comes this headline, and I feel prescient about my decision to include pomegranate in the new iteration of PhytoGuard. Headline, creating pomegranate drug to stem Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. This is done at a university in Great Britain. Doctor, and excuse my pronunciation here, I think this guy might be Nigerian. He's certainly from Africa. His name is Dr. Olumayokun Olajide. I'm going to refer to him as Dr. O. Has developed a derivative of pomegranate. It's actually a purified extract called punicalagin that can act as a pro-drug to treat the neuroinflammation that is associated with Alzheimer's disease and may help slow down its progression. This compound is a potent polyphenol anti-inflammatory, and it works particularly well in the brain. It is said that the onset of Alzheimer's disease could be slowed and some of its symptoms curbed by a natural compound that is found in pomegranate, namely punicalagin. Also, the painful inflammation that accompanies illnesses such as rheumatoid arthritis and Parkinson's disease could be reduced, according to the findings of a two-year project headed by Dr. O. This doctor in Great Britain specializes in anti-inflammatory properties of natural products. And so he's going to continue his research, and we're happy to see that he is looking at the antioxidant potential of the compounds found in the outer skin of pomegranates. Very cool stuff. All right. This item, I think, will be of great interest to many of you who may be too chicken to get a colonoscopy. I mean, this is a real deal, is that a lot of people don't get screened for colon cancer because they're daunted by the prospect of getting a colonoscopy, getting something inserted rectally, kind of in a Roto-Rooter type procedure, or they're bothered by the idea of the fast and then the purge that you must undergo before the procedure. And the virtual colonoscopy, which is said to avoid, you know, putting something up there, you don't really avoid putting something up there because they have to insufflate you with air rectally, and you still have to go through a purge to clean yourself out for the test. Now, they actually found that CT colonography, the virtual colonoscopy, is pretty much as effective as an optical colonoscopy at picking up cancer. In fact, one study suggests even better, but still, you know, it's a lot of radiation. 94% of cancers were found with an optical colonoscopy. 96% were found, that's slightly more, with a virtual colonoscopy, but still, you gotta, at this point in time, you still have to have a rectal insufflation of air to undergo the test, and then you get a lot of radiation. So, what else could you do? Well, there's the fecal occult blood test, but that's not very accurate because there are a lot of false positives. You have to follow a diet that is free of meat, because if you eat something bloody, it's just basically something that picks up blood And if you eat something bloody, you're going to get a false positive. And I think if you take too much vitamin C, it actually will neutralize the test. So that test, that's not that accurate. You could still have the cancer growing even without blood present. So it's not a good way to pick up cancer. Now, they've come up with, and they've just approved this, it's called Cologuard. It's an amazing DNA screening test for colorectal cancer. And it's a very good test. It doesn't just pick up active cancers. It'll actually pick up polyps. In a study of 10,000 people at average risk for colon cancer, in other words, just screening, just like, you know, you or I might go for a colonoscopy at the age of 50, as is recommended, Cologuard picked up 92% of cancers. That's pretty good. That's almost as good as the regular colonoscopy, 94%. And it was negative in 87% of patients without the disease. So there were some false positives, but at least pretty good performance. I mean, in colonoscopy, they, you know, they'll sometimes say, hey, this looks suspicious. They'll do a biopsy, and then it turns out negative. So there's some false positives in colonoscopy, too. Obviously, if you have a positive Cologuard test, you still need a colonoscopy to take a look-see, see what's going on up there. But at least it can avoid the necessity for lots of colonoscopies. And here's another problem with colonoscopy. No question, colonoscopy can reduce the risk of death from left-sided cancer, cancer that they find that's closest to where they insert the tube. But if you go further up the intestine, over to the right side, it turns out studies show it doesn't really reduce the risk of death from right-sided cancer, which is less common but still can occur. For some reason, the further up you go, the harder it is to visualize the cancer, maybe, you know, incomplete studies. So this may revolutionize our way of detecting cancer. One problem, though, it's expensive. It's now been authorized to be covered by insurance. It's a take-home test. Your doctor authorizes it, sends you home with a kit, and then you basically put some stool in the kit, send it off with a mailer to a laboratory, and the laboratory will analyze it for tiny DNA traces of cancerous tissue, and then send your doctor the result. The doctor can then tell you you're in the clear, or if the test is positive, perform further studies to see what's going on. Just fast-tracked by the Food and Drug Administration, and also approved for insurance by the Office of Medicare and Medicaid. So this test may soon be available at a doctor near you, so check it out as an alternative to colonoscopy. Where it does not work is if you're at high risk, if you've had a positive colonoscopy in the past, if you've had a cancer before, if you have high-risk conditions like a history of ulcerative colitis or previously polyps, they're still going to want to look up there. But for just normal screening, this is a good test. And check it out. It's called the Cologuard test. We talk about it in our podcast this week, where we talk about natural prevention of colon cancer. Check out our podcast at drhoffman.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. You know, the big news this week on the health front has been all about Ebola and Ebola virus and the remarkable recovery of both of the American missionaries who were flown back to Atlanta and treated with a special concoction, a serum that was designed to neutralize the Ebola virus. And you know, there's been lots of speculation about this. A lot of people concerned, you know, why bring these people to the United States? You know, now you're going to spread this and, you know, what are we going to do? And could this be, ultimately the zombie apocalypse? I've cautioned people not to jump to conclusions about the Ebola virus. It's going to be a very problematic in Africa for a while until this epidemic burns itself out because of the poor health infrastructure over there. And no, we can't come up with vats and vats of this serum. It's very hard to make, and it won't be available at least this time around. They're working on a vaccine. But whatever these types of illnesses loom, and this is actually a theme of the movie Contagion recently, false prophets rise up and tell us that they've got, quote, natural remedies. And, you know, I'm all for natural remedies. But I think it's terrible that we take advantage of a tragedy like the Ebola virus epidemic to scare people into profiteering. Ultimately, it's about profiteering. So the FDA has issued a warning for immediate release as of last week. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is advising consumers to be aware of products sold online claiming to prevent or treat the Ebola virus. Since the outbreak of the Ebola virus in West Africa, the FDA has seen and received consumer complaints about a variety of products claiming to either prevent the Ebola virus or treat the infection. The FDA emphasizes there are no FDA-approved vaccines or drugs to prevent or treat Ebola. Individuals promoting these unapproved and fraudulent products must take immediate action to correct or remove these claims or face potential FDA action. Now, you might say, well, who could be unscrupulous enough to try and profiteer off this this terrible epidemic? Well, there actually is a person, and I'm not going to mention her name, but she's got a website with some very lurid claims. She claims that the Ebola virus has been manufactured by global billionaires. The usual culprits, Bill Gates and George Soros, have conspired to engineer the virus in conjunction with the United States government, the World Health Agency, and all the usual conspirators to come up with a means of population control and also to introduce kind of a Trojan horse to get world government to step in and take over. That's what they're saying. The globalists will get their wish. The population reduced and the need for the World Health Organization to seize government powers is established, and the need for total authoritarian control of the populace by the Global Health Security Initiative is established, and lots of people die because they claim there's no cure. But according to this lady, who is a doctor, she should know better, she says there is a cure. And that cure is, she proclaims, is colloidal silver. And by the way, conveniently offered for sale on her website. Look, colloidal silver is a wonderful disinfectant. And it's a natural antibiotic, and I use it for patients. I use it superficially. I use it for mouth problems. I suggest that patients gargle with it. If they have a sore throat or tonsillitis, they can use it for nasal instillation. If they have sinusitis, it may have a variety of uses topically for problems like rectal itch. Can be very beneficial because it is, you know, silver, after all, is a wonderful natural antibiotic. But to suggest that drinking lots of colloidal silver is the answer to Ebola is a it's a ripoff. It's a terrible, terrible breach of trust and an effort to entice some vulnerable people to believe that they should buy this stuff to prevent an epidemic, which ultimately isn't going to threaten Americans. Big problem over there, but it ain't coming over here. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
For more Intelligent Medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. You know, a few years ago, I made the decision to no longer prescribe standard medications for osteoporosis. I found a better way to treat osteoporosis, and I often talk about it here on this program. We use vitamin K and vitamin D and some of my favorite products like Ostera, which is a hops-derived product, and Osteosupport, a combination of bioabsorbable calcium with other elements, and strontium, and it works. At the time, I was concerned about a condition called osteonecrosis of the jaw, which is a very serious condition where the bone erodes, literally erodes away, and the teeth become loose, and it's irreversible. There's no treatment. But it was said that the condition was very, very rare, you know, but still, it's a bad condition. So I said, this is a bad thing. And even if it's rare, we don't want to have that happen with the standard medications like Fosamax and Beneva and so on. New study out of Taiwan. They found that this condition was surprisingly prevalent. One in 200 long-term users of oral Fosamax developed osteonecrosis of the jaw. They looked at just 7,000 patients, and they found that 40, that's 0.5%, so 1 in 200, were diagnosed with osteonecrosis of the jaw, an average of just 4 years after initiating Fosamax. So this is a big, big concern. If this were to occur in America, I mean, literally millions of women especially, some men, but mostly women, are taking these medications. And sometimes they take them intravenously, which even boosts the risk of osteonecrosis of the jaw. We might be seeing a terrible epidemic of this problem if the results from Taiwan can be extrapolated to mainland USA. So real concern associated with these medications. I think natural therapies work far better and are far safer. So I feel vindicated in my choice of a natural approach to osteoporosis. Thanks for joining us for this hour. Lots more coming up next hour, so stay with us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.